In today's world, we hear a lot about self-care. For many people, part of that self-care is carving out me time, time where I can be alone and focus on myself. As a married mother of two, I truly value my me time. One of the greatest things about moving to New York is that hour in the morning between when my kids and my husband leave for work and school and when I need to leave for work. Every morning, I have a glorious hour to myself. I can focus on getting myself ready. I can think about the day ahead. I don't need to worry about anyone. I can even have dessert for breakfast and my kids are none the wiser. But in those blissful moments, I don't feel lonely. Loneliness is something else. Loneliness is a feeling that you are existing in a state of aloneness. A person can be alone without feeling lonely. Alone describes the state of being, but lonely describes an emotional response to one's circumstances. Over the past 6 weeks, many Jews have felt existentially alone and lonely. It is as if we are existing in a reality that is altogether different than the one we occupied on October 6th. People we thought were part of our crew, part of our network, part of our community, have suddenly revealed themselves not to be as allied with us as we imagined. For many of us, the social justice circles that we were part of until October 6th felt comfortable and inclusive. Sure, there may have been some differences in how we viewed Israel and the Palestinian issues, but not so much to keep us from working together on other issues. But after October 7th, when we experienced the most deadly day in Jewish history since the Holocaust, our supposed allies have shown themselves not to be so allied with us. When we were victims of a horrific terrorist attack, those with whom we have stood shoulder to shoulder when their communities were attacked were suddenly silent, or worse, they blamed us for our own attack and downplayed the atrocities we faced. Realizing that the community with whom you have associated yourself with is closed off to you is heartbreaking, frustrating, and lonely. For the past 6 weeks, many of us have tried to figure out our place in this new reality that we feel we are existing in. There are those who seem to stand most strongly in support of Israel's right to defend itself, also stands in opposition to many of the other beliefs we hold. And those who align themselves politically with us on other issues have invalidated our right to exist in our homeland. So we find ourselves standing alone, lonely. For American Jews, these past 6 weeks have been heartbreakingly sad on so many levels. The violent attack on our homeland, the rise of anti-Semitism in our own community, and the lack of empathy from those whom we thought were allies, and the continued attacks on Israel's right to exist as a Jewish, democratic, independent nation. But for some of us, that changed on Tuesday. The reality is, our presence at the rally for Israel this past Tuesday likely won't bring the hostages home any sooner. It won't end the war any quicker. It probably won't even shift world opinion of us. But over the past few days, in reflecting on why it was so monumentally important to be there, I've come up with three reasons that the rally changed for many of us. It has helped to heal our heartbreak, it has lessened our loneliness, and it has diffused our desolation. Tuesday helped to heal our heartbreak. After Tuesday, I feel far more hopeful. The past few weeks have been heartbreakingly hard to be a Jew. We see rally after rally call for our destruction as a nation and as a people. We see posters of babies, children, men, women, elderly, who are being held hostage, torn down and stepped on as if their lives don't matter. And we hear the leaders of Hamas openly declaring that October 7th was only the first of many attacks on Israel and Jews. And despite that, we still hear calls for a ceasefire that would serve only to strengthen our enemies. In this climate, it is easy to feel pessimistic about the future of Jews, Judaism, and the modern world. When we have to question whether we feel safe wearing our Jewish stars, keeping our mezuzot on our doors, or expressing our beliefs, it is disheartening. But standing on the National Mall in a sea of white and blue, with Israeli flags proudly waving and chants of Am Yisrael Chai, one couldn't help but to feel hopeful for the future of the Jewish people. For me, one visual stood out. Several people had created a flag that had the American flag morph into the Israeli flag as one flag. Someone with that flag was standing a few feet in front of me, and each time the wind blew, the flag would unfurl and frame the Capitol building. To see the image of the American flag and the Israeli flag bonded together, flying high and proud over the Capitol, took my breath away. Tuesday's rally helped to lessen our existential loneliness. Being surrounded by 290,000 of my newest, closest friends reminded me of who we were, of who was watching, and who was alone. We don't need to feel lonely. We have each other's back. The United States National Mall was filled with Jews of every denomination and background. Many of them were Orthodox. Many of them would not approve of me being on the Bima or count me in their minion. But what the rally reminded us was when it really counts, we can set our differences aside for the larger goal. When our survival is at risk, we are able to put aside the differences that may tear us apart day to day and stand shoulder to shoulder. And finally, Tuesday's rally helped to diffuse our communal desolation. We uplifted the spirits and the hearts not only of our American brethren, but of our Israeli brothers and sisters. Not only were American Jews tuned into the rally, but so was Israel. And so many have reported how heartened they felt to see the outpouring of support for themselves and their country. After several weeks of worldwide equivocation on the right of Israel to defend itself, Israelis watched leaders from across the political spectrum declare unequivocally that Israel has a right, even an obligation, to defend itself from the terrorists in their backyard. They heard Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish elected official, say, "America will always have Israel's back." They heard Republican Senator Joni Ernst declare, "We will not sit quiet as anti-Semitism is promulgated in classrooms and campuses around the country." And they heard Congressman Richie Torres assert that Israel has a right to defend itself, and America has a duty to stand with Israel in her struggle for survival and self-defense. Just before Rosh Hashanah, I gave a sermon about Rabbi Joachim Prince, and the speech that he gave on that same National Mall 60 years ago. As the speaker that immediately preceded the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and his famous I Have a Dream speech, Rabbi Prince spoke of the dangers of staying silent. Having witnessed the rise of anti-Semitism in the Nazi Party, Rabbi Prince knew all too well the outcome of staying silent. After Tuesday's experience, I am certain that we have learned from the past. No longer are we content to keep our heads down and hope things will blow over and get better. No longer are we content to allow someone else to define who we are and what we are capable of. And no longer are we content to let history happen to us. This week, we showed the world, and more importantly, we proved to ourselves that we can and we should stand tall and proud as Jews. So while our attendance at the rally may not have had an immediate effect of changing the circumstances on the ground, I truly believe that our presence in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday will have a lasting effect on the Jewish community in America, in Israel, and around the world. Shabbat Shalom.